And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is lighting the path before us. Each of my guests is enlightening us about certain paths that we're going down. My next guest is a Buddhist monk and a meditation instructor. We'll discuss illuminating the path through difficult times from his book, A Lamp in the Darkness. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, give us a call at 639-0008. Jack Kornfield's a PhD. He's a writer, a clinical psychologist, and one of the world's foremost meditation and spiritual leaders. Jack has been a practitioner for over 40 years. He is one of the key teachers to introduce mindfulness and meditation to the West. He is a founding member of the Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Massachusetts, and Spirit Rock Meditation Center in Woodacre, California. His books include After the Ecstasy, The Laundry, Buddha's Little Instruction Manual, Teachings of the Buddha, and the national bestseller, A Path with Heart, among others. His latest book, as I said, is titled A Lamp in the Darkness, Illuminating the Path Through Difficult Times. Welcome to the show, Jack. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, thank you for being our guest, and you couldn't come at a better time, because right now we're all feeling the challenges of a declining economy, the political turmoil, our stressful lifestyles, and all the other influences that create fear, negativity, and imbalance in our lives. So how is your book the antidote to all of these stresses?
Well, I don't know that any book is an antidote to stress, but in difficult times, we can take all the help we can get.
Sure.
And in this book, what I offer is practices that can help people steady themselves, practices of balance and equanimity through hard times. It's like you're going down a really rough stream, and you need to know how to keep your balance. Healing practices so that you can keep your body strong as you go through difficult times. And compassion practices to hold yourself and people going through hard times together in a kind heart, because when you feel like you're alone, difficult times are especially hard.
Yes.
But if you open your heart and your sense to know that you're sharing these hard times with many, many other people, and that you know how to survive and that they know how to survive, you can feel a thousand generations of survival in your bones and in your DNA, and it gets you through what is difficult.
Well, expand on that a little bit, Jack, if you will, please, because really you say in your book that where we are today is just built upon all of the struggles and stresses of our ancestors before us. Talk to me more about that. Explain that, please.
Well, rather than speak about it as the struggles and stresses of ancestors, I would say it's the survival of our ancestors. When I or you or others think back to the ways that our ancestors had to move, in many cases, to immigrate to new places to survive wars and famines and difficulties, they knew how to survive. They learned how to. They found their way, and they gave birth to you. And you carry that strength of survival in you, and you can begin to trust it. Part of the difficulty when times are hard is that we think in catastrophic ways, that everything will end and that we don't know what to do. Mark Twain said at one point, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortunes, most of which never happen." But in fact, when you center yourself, when you find a way to calm your heart, to tend to your body so that you don't carry so much stress, when you become mindful and release the stress in your body, you actually become someone that helps those around you in difficult times.
Yeah, that's great. My guest is Jack Kornfield. Jack, before we go on to the next story, I do want to say that we still have four sandwiches or four salads. That'll be for the next caller, 639-0008, 639-0008. Call in and win sandwiches or salads from Urbane Cafe. Now, to really conceptualize this for my listeners, if you will, Jack, tell the story about the young woman who spoke up while you were lecturing in San Francisco a couple of years ago.
Yes, I was doing an evening lecture to a large group of maybe 3,000 people together with a good friend and colleague, Pema Chodron. And one young woman stood up, raised her hand, and with great grief talked about how her partner had committed suicide just a week or two before. Mm. She was really torn apart. So first, Pema helped her to hold her situation, her body, all of the fears and feelings with compassion. And I could feel her aloneness in all of this. So I asked, how many others in this room have experienced the suicide of a family member or someone really close to them? And 200 people stood up, maybe 8%.
Wow.
And then I asked if they would simply gaze at her from their heart, from their understanding, and if she would open her eyes and look around. And it's as if the room became a temple, because all the care and natural compassion from those who had suffered in the way that she had was there, visible to everyone. And she, I believe, felt a kind of support and courage from seeing that she was not alone, even in the worst of her difficulties.
It's a very powerful story. My guest is Jack Kornfield, author of the book, A Lamp in the Darkness, Illuminating the Path Through Difficult Times. Now, Jack, a central thesis of your book is awaken the one who knows. So first of all, who is the one who knows?
The one who knows is a language that one of my teachers used for conscience, wisdom, the place in us that understands, even when our mind gets confused, even when we get upset, there is, if we quiet down for just three breaths, there is a place in us that knows that we can survive, that guides us toward that. There's a place in us that knows what's right and wrong, that has the conscience and the care for ourselves and others foremost. This place, the one who knows, is like the witness to our lives, and it is always accessible, trustworthy. All you have to do is look in the mirror. It's a kind of funny thing that happens, you know, as humans. We look in the mirror and we notice that we've aged, at least most of us. But the funny thing is that we don't necessarily feel older. And that's because it's just our body that's aged. But the one who is looking and saying, wow, it looks older, doesn't it, is the consciousness, the spirit born in us. And this undying spirit knows what is true. And all it takes is a few moments of quieting ourselves and asking, speaking with our heart, what is the best intention? What is the most beautiful way we can live even through these difficulties? And the heart will answer. The one who knows will answer.
The one who knows. And all it takes is three breaths, Jack. So if we just stop for a moment, take three deep breaths, that's how we can awaken the one who knows?
It's a beginning. If you think about it, Bill, suppose you're in a fight or a conflict with somebody in your workplace or in your family, and you're about to get into it. If you pause for a moment, even turn away, take a few deep breaths, and then ask yourself, what's my best intention? What's my highest intention? Very often, you'll realize it's not the intention to get one over on that person or be right or prove them wrong or something. When you really listen, in a few breaths, you realize, my intention is to figure this out, to somehow find a way that we can live together well, to solve this. And that intention, which is really underneath the intention of compassion or care, arises when we take the time to ask. And as soon as we do, then the very same, in a few moments, the very same conversation can turn, because we're not in it just to get back at someone or just to defend ourselves. There's some deeper part of us that we can access very quickly. And through the practices in this book, the healing temple, the practices of forgiveness, the wise heart, there are ways, after three breaths, there are ways to deepen and connect with this understanding to get you through hard times.
My guest is Jack Kornfield. Jack, it's very popular to say right now, live in the present, live in the moment. So why is living in the present very important if we're going to find this, the one who knows inside of us?
I had a friend come to me whose husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Ooh.
And he is going through a course of chemotherapy, and the prognosis is really very difficult and very bad. And he's handling it moderately well, although it's a very hard journey, and likely he only has a year or so to live. She, as you can well understand, became really upset and couldn't sleep and couldn't eat and wildly anxious. And in some way, all her fear and anxiety made it such that she couldn't be with her husband as he was now. She was losing the days and months of the life that they would have together. So we practiced together the letting go of all the thoughts, the catastrophe images, the worries, not that she can't plan, not that she doesn't need to take care, but we practiced moving from that upset mind into her heart, dropped to her body, her breath, her heart, and said, here you are now. What do you want most? She said, well, what I want most is to stay connected with my husband, to really love him with all the time we have. And so she learned through breathing, through mindfulness, and through the coming back to the present moment, that she could live here and now and plan appropriately, but not live in all the thoughts of past and future that take us away from the people that we care about, from the beautiful sunset that's happening while we're busy thinking about something else, from the life that we're living.
Wow, that is a powerful story. My guest is Jack Kornfield, author of the book, A Lamp in the Darkness, Illuminating the Path Through Difficult Times. And now, Jack, your book is divided into several specific thoughts, several specific areas: compassion, forgiveness, healing, equanimity, mindfulness, and joy. And it all starts with compassion, both compassion for others and compassion for ourselves. Talk to our listeners about the compassion that they need to start with themselves first.
Without compassion, we really can't live wisely. All of us have a certain measure of sorrow that's given to us. There's praise and blame and gain and loss and pain and pleasure woven into every life. If we resist it, if we turn away from it, if we try to avoid it through running or busyness or addictions or some other distraction, we lose our life. But people don't know how to hold the measure of difficulties that's given to them, so they do try to run away. It's possible to turn the heart toward the measure of sorrows, the struggles that we have, if we have compassion for ourselves and for those around us. If we can hold ourselves with a spirit of some mercy and tenderness and realize, yes, it is difficult. Yes, we carry pain. Yes, we have our struggles. With this kindness and compassion, we take a deep breath, our body and heart and mind begin to soften, we say, yes, this is the truth for us, for others, and out of that compassion, then it becomes possible to be less afraid, to respond, rather than to run away or to react.
Now, this
and
is...
as we learn to hold ourselves with compassion, then we can see with those same eyes the struggles of people around us. It connects us. Connects us in caring, and we become a gift to them when we're not freaked out. Vietnamese Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh wrote that when the crowded Vietnamese refugee boats met with storms or pirates, if everyone panicked, all would be lost. But if even one person on the boat remained calm, it was enough. It showed the way for everyone to survive. When we become compassionate, a calmness or a care fills us, and that centeredness then becomes a gift in difficult times to all those around us.
Wow. My guest is Jack Kornfield. Jack, one of the other parts of your book is equanimity. Talk to me about equanimity. First of all, what do you mean for some of my listeners who may not know what that means, but also how do you practice that? What do you talk about in your book?
Equanimity is balance in the midst of the waves of life. You can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf. To have equanimity doesn't mean indifference or withdrawing from life, but if you put a spoon of salt in a cup of water, it tastes very salty. If you put the same spoon of salt in a lake, the water is still fresh and clear. As you sit and practice these trainings of mindfulness, compassion, forgiveness, and now of equanimity, you find ways to open the mind and heart like space, and to have a big perspective, to have the perspective of vast time, of the play of joy and sorrow, of gain and loss, and to find that you can rest in the spacious heart with balance and say, yes, things are difficult at times, but they always change. As the great poet Pablo Neruda wrote, You can pick all the flowers, but you can't stop the spring. And even though things may seem bleak at certain points, it becomes possible to trust, to rest in the spacious heart, and to take a day at a time, a moment at a time, and trust that the seeds we plant will bring new birth, will bring new things born, which happens over and over again. It's completely trustworthy.
And the highest level in your book is joy. And how many people in their lives do you think really experience true joy? We all have moments of it, maybe when our child is born or things like that. But how many people really lead a life, a joyful life, would you say, Jack?
We all have moments of joy, as you say. And the thing that appeals to us about some of the great spiritual figures of the world is their capacity for joy and beauty, even in difficulty. People love the laugh of the Dalai Lama, even though he carries the burdens of the repression of Tibet and the loss of the temples in his country. He still can laugh so beautifully. Or Nelson Mandela, who walked out of Robben Island prison after 27 years with such graciousness and magnanimity and love and forgiveness, that he not only changed South Africa, but he changed the imagination of the world. This freedom of heart is yours as well. You can start anew every morning at breakfast. The script is open. Even with the suffering and difficulty that has gone before you, you can choose to turn your heart toward life itself, toward joy. And this possibility, even as you hold yourself with compassion and tend the difficulties, is the step that allows you to free your heart. It's a beautiful thing to turn toward joy.
And that it is. My guest is Jack Kornfield, author of the book, A Lamp in the Darkness, Illuminating the Path Through Difficult Times. Jack, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, A Lamp in the Darkness?
What I want them to take away is to know that instead of either being overwhelmed or distracting themselves or running from fear, that they can hold their ground, that they can lean into the wind, that they can trust themselves moment by moment and day by day to live with a courage and a dignity as those people I just spoke of did, that Nelson Mandela and the Dalai Lama and those they might admire are really in them as well, and that this is a possibility for every human being and everyone's spirit.
Oh, that is a beautiful idea. My guest has been Jack Kornfield, author of the book, A Lamp in the Darkness, Illuminating the Path Through Difficult Times. Jack, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go to my website, Jack Kornfield, K-O-R-N-F-I-E-L-D, jackkornfield.org, and books and teachings and so forth are practices, the practice of forgiveness, equanimity, healing practices are there.
Oh, that is great. Jack, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorm.
Thank you to all who listen.
Thank you. And